The first word I've said today. Good morning, everybody. Let's turn our Bibles. We've got two passages to read from today. So first, let's turn to Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And I'll read it through, and then we'll read the second one. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who said to be barren is in her sixth month. So nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. And then the second passage, as we're going to read from Joseph's story, is in Matthew chapter 1, again, chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." This all took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," meaning God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this early morning, and I pray, Lord, that as I speak today, that your presence would be here, and that your word would be preached, and that we would learn to be with you, and that be enough for us. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Advent is coming up. We see in the shopping malls Christmas decoration all around. And I've been following a Advent reading. And I think that it's so awesome how we get to spend this season just waiting, anticipating the coming of Jesus, the commemoration of the coming of Jesus. And so to look back at his story, there are some themes that I realized that jumped out of the two accounts of Jesus' mom and Jesus' dad. And the thing that jumped out most to me was this idea of waiting. And waiting is really not a popular thing to do in our day and age, especially in this time where everything is so convenient. Even if I have to wait a minute for my bus longer than it said it's supposed to be here, I'm just like, what I consider my options. Should I take this other bus? Or we have a time famine in this culture. We need things to be done right now. Actually, we need things to be done yesterday, that phrase. But waiting is not popular. And not only just waiting, but when you are in fear, the waiting is even harder. The thing about Mary and Joseph is that they were both waiting with this element of fear. Mary was waiting in the element of fear where, even as we were reading, it claims that she was greatly troubled. And the fears for her could be that, having an illegitimate child in her stomach, and not only what she will face in the first 9 months, what about after the child is born? What are the connotations for a woman in those times who have an illegitimate child, and that would go on for the rest of her life? And so there were great repercussions for her. And also for Joseph, for him, he's like, well, whose child is it then? I think that would be his fear. And to trust that that it was the Holy Spirit for Joseph, he would, if he doesn't put that fear to rest, it could be with him for the rest of his life. And it could manifest and come up to the surface in all different kinds of ways. He just trusted and waited with Mary. Fear, the way I've heard fear and anxiety been described before is like this, where fear is you're in a zoo and there's a cage and there's a lion inside that cage and you're in the cage with the lion, and that immediacy, that's fear. And anxiety would be you standing outside that cage, the lion's inside, but then the anticipation of that lion coming out to get you, that's anxiety. Where it's this pervasive, constant, even if you walk away and go somewhere else in the zoo, the idea of that lion possibly coming out to get you, that gnawing, you just can't rest. And fear, fear and anxiety has a physical toll on your body. Even when it might still be lingering in the back of the mind, but as you near that cage, then the fear grips you. You start feeling this weird sensation in the back of your neck. You start like feeling like you're blushing, but it's all that blood rushing up into your brain to prepare you into action, and that's what happens when we're in fear. Our body feels it first, and we have two options, which usually is to flee or to fight. And this feeling is to prepare us for some kind of action. And it's no wonder how some of the most fearful people are sometimes the most aggressive people, actually. I've had so many experiences and, so many stories. I remember walking through the market up on Graham Street, and there was a time when market was about to close. And it's Graham Street, right? That market up there? Yeah. And I remember being up there around that time when the market was going to close, and just how even if I like touched a vegetable, I'll get yelled at. There was so much anxiety in the air. And that's just our human nature of wanting to protect ourselves. And there's just a huge element of control there as well. When you're in fear, that blood rushing, that action, that need to respond, there's a huge element of control there. And that goes back to the reason why fear plus waiting is such a hard thing, because you cannot control either one of those things. even though you feel like the way to get out of it to get peace is to control, but we can't. That is, in a way, the antithesis to the spiritual life. So what can we glean from Mary and Joseph in this idea of waiting through anxiety or waiting through fear? We can see that for Mary and Joseph, that people who wait, they have a promise. That is the anchor in which their waiting can even become possible, is that they constantly have to go back to that promise. I think that the fear and anxiety, that is just our feeling. That's just what our bodies are telling us is happening inside. A lot of the times we want to reject the fear or reject the anxiety, but, you know, sometimes as you're doing that, you create even more scenarios of what could possibly happen. But when we focus on the promise, that is the thing that crushes the anxiety. To have this alternative narrative brings you out of that. It refocuses your attention. It gives you a different perspective. And I just love how Mary, it just seems so natural for her, because one moment she is anxious and full of worry, and then the next is, I think, one of the most incredible things, where she says, I am the Lord's maidservant, be it done to me as you say. Wow. that she is built up to be ready to wait. And may we also be too. Having said that, we realize that people who wait are actually actively waiting. It's not a passive, we're just trying to endure and white-knuckle it until we get the promise. But it's constantly having that promise set in front of us, returning to that promise over and over again. And this is where I feel the practice of silence and solitude and stillness are practices that are so invaluable that may feel very countercultural to us today. That's something that I've been trying to do in my journey, is to spend time alone in silence. And sometimes the silence is like, oh my gosh, I'm so bored. And I still have, like, I keep looking at the clock, even though I know every time I look, that's like me failing. But really, it's an opportunity to return back to God's love. And it's just it's just sometimes it's just so hard. A minute feels like forever. I can't even imagine 9 months for the promise to be fulfilled. But the practice of resting in God's love and resting in silence, that cultivates us. It brings back into the forefront everything that's written here in the Word that tells us that God is with us. And I think that that in looking for the future, the moment cannot be experienced. The moment is empty. But in waiting, the moment becomes full. And that is the great paradox, as we're trying to fill our own lives with the thing that we think will fulfill us. But it's actually in the process, in the journey, in the waiting. It's savoring every moment that we get to wait on the Lord that cultivates us, to be able to say what Mary said, let it be done to me, as you said. Just one last thing that I want to share about what I gleaned from this is the beauty of Christian community. Because right after this happened, like right as the angel was telling Mary all this was how this is going to happen to you, they're like, well, this is happening to Elizabeth too. And right after, here in the text in Luke, right after she got the word from the angel, she immediately goes out to find her, to find Elizabeth, and they rejoice together. Like, together, they build each other up into actively waiting. You know, it just helps so much. And for those of us who are people confide in you about their anxieties and their fears, there is a part of waiting for us as well. Because we experience this all the time as we go out, as we encounter the suffering of the world. We see people who we just desire the best and breakthrough. But when that doesn't happen, whether it's your house church member or whether it's you're going out on outreach or whether it's even your parents, anyone who you desire better for them and then they do something, you're like, ah! Didn't we just have this conversation yesterday? You know, that actively waiting for us, that constant relinquishing of control, that is a spiritual practice that grows us as well. So as we meet and as we minister, it is never just one-sided where this person is getting everything from my wisdom, but we're getting to encounter the present moment as well. Yeah, so I think let's do that today together for 1 minute. I'm sure all of us have some kind of fear and anxiety that's lingering in the back of your mind. Just last night at house church, we were talking about this, and it got really depressing at one point. But there were a few of our members who are living in Hong Kong where their parents are not in Hong Kong. And we started talking about how our parents are getting older and, you know, John Mayer's song about Can't Stop This Train. I think it's a beautiful song, but it's about how his parents are getting older and he can't do anything about it. And I think that as we talk about that, you know, I realize my anxiety around this subject, even though my parents are here in Hong Kong, it's still, you know, I can trust God to give me surprises. I can trust God to deal with me, but can I trust God to deal with them? Same thing with your kids, right? So let's do this today together. There is something that is inside of us that is preventing us from experiencing the joy and the meat of the moment of God's presence here right now in this very moment. Let us not be running to any other remedy other than Jesus who is with us. I think I will give us a moment of silence where we just close our eyes and we allow God to show us that one place of anxiety. Father, show us that one place of anxiety. And I just would love us to meditate on one quote, and it's T.S. Eliot honoring Julian of Norwich, and it is, "All shall be well, and in all manner of things shall be well. All shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. All shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well." And as we come out of this moment of silence, and as Cindy leads us in a song of worship, let us actively give that anxiety to God. Actively give it to the Lord. And and remember his promises of who he is and what he said that he would do for you.
I've never known a love like yours. never known a love like yours. I've never known a love like yours, no. Jesus, what a Savior, what a brother.
Father, it is because of your love that we can stay, that we can dare to stay in the hard places of waiting. It is because of your love. And it is through your love and your presence that we can do that, and that that can be fulfilled, that you give us hope. And when hope is open-ended, you make things possible when we relinquish our control. And we thank you for your love, the love that desires and creates the best for us. And so, as we pray for our brothers and sisters who are still waiting for complete healing, let's come to the Father with expectation. So let's pray for our community who have cancer. Let's pray for our community who is sick in their bodies but need to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for those of us in our midst with infirmities that need healing. Let's pray for our sisters who are waiting for work. Let's move into our Thursday prayer focus. Our mission focus is for Singapore, SPSG with P. Sam Kim, and also Indonesia with Pastor Salamat. Let's pray for Singapore and Indonesia. Let's pray for the prayer and healing ministries, for IP and the well and the river. Let's pray for our education ministries, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's pray for our Thursday outreaches, SP Lights and Homie Outreach as they go out tonight. And lastly, let's pray for the house churches that are meeting tonight, East Bay House Church and Olympic House Church. Daddy, we just thank you for giving us this morning to get to be with you and to be reminded that your presence is available to us right now. Father, we just set our eyes on you, starting right now, and let us constantly decide to set our gaze back towards you as we go throughout our day. We love you, Father, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good day, everyone. See you tomorrow.